Thank you, brother. Good morning, everybody. Kind of weird doing worship without singing, but as Brody said, it's not about the singing, it's about what's going on in our hearts. Father, thank you that we can get together. Lord, thank you that we can come and worship you and spend time with your people consciously in your presence. Lord, as we open the scriptures today, Lord, I just pray that you would open our hearts to soften our hearts, that we might hear what you have to say to us today. Father, we pray that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, let me ask you a question. How well is your Christianity working for you? Because there's always something going on, isn't there? We know that Christianity is meant to work. If it doesn't, let's pack up, go home, play golf on Sunday mornings, do something else, right? We know that Christianity is meant to work because we have God's word on that. God promises us his peace, his joy, his rest, his power, his forgiveness, his love, his grace, his mercy, his salvation, the whole lot. He promises us that. But of course, can we have the right slide? But of course, we live in a funny world. Who is old enough to remember when the only way that you would find out what the weather was going to be tomorrow is to wait until 27 past 6 in the evening after the evening news? And the weatherman would come on. Sounds really weird now. And I remember as kids, my father getting really cranky with me when we would talk during the weather forecast, because it was his only chance to find out what the weather was going to be tomorrow. What's the weather going to be tomorrow?
Nice weather coming up tomorrow. Up to 19 degrees and sunny.
19 and sunny tomorrow. We live in a really strange world, right? Really, really weird. If I ask her what the population of Kenya is, she'll tell me what the population of Kenya is. So we have all this U-boot tech, the iPad, the phones, the watches, all the stuff. And whether you're a pensioner or whether you're a multimillionaire, we do pretty well in this country, amen. We have a roof over our head. We have food on our table. We have clothes to wear. We are safe. We live truly blessed lives in this corner of the world. But. Why is my slide? Oh, here we go. Often life looks like this. You know, we can look really all together out there, but some mothers have a sink full of dirty dishes with kids running around screaming while it's raining all weekend. Others have lost loved ones. Others of you are getting older and the bones are starting to not work quite the way they used to. Others have lost their jobs. Others have financial issues, not sure what's going to happen. There's stuff going on that wants to rob us of our peace. The world out there seems intent on robbing us of our peace. Even when you get up in the morning and you go, you know what, I'm going to pray and I'm going to have some time with God and I'm going to have a good day, and you take one step out of the front door, bang, something happens. Or husbands and wives, one of you wakes up grumpy because you just did, and you rob the peace of the one that you love. Where we live isn't out there. Where we live is in here, in our heart, in our soul, in our emotions. And I was watching the worship team up here, and they're doing a great job, but we don't know what's going on behind there. We don't know what happened to them yesterday or the day before. You have no idea what's going on in my life, nor do I in yours. And so, we can often end up, sorry, this isn't quite working the way it should be, feeling a bit desolate inside. Even though we come to worship, even though we come to sing songs, we feel as though our Christianity isn't delivering all that Jesus promised us. We all have days like that. We all have phases during our lives like that. Christianity works well, maybe for other people today, but maybe not so well for a few of the people in this room right now. And I don't care what you do, whether you're retired, whether you're working hard, whether you're bringing up children, doesn't matter what you do, stuff happens, right? I was watching an interview, and we're going to watch this interview now. Who knows this fella? It's Woody. It's Woody. Who's watched Toy Story? Who loves Toy Story? It's great. Woody. And we think of Woody as being this really happy-go-lucky guy that makes stuff happen. And da-da-da. I was watching an interview of, does anyone know who plays Woody? Tom Hanks. I was watching Tom Hanks being interviewed about playing Woody. And we're going to watch it for a couple of minutes and watch this video. If my clicker could work.
How hard can that be? But they really do put you through it.
Dear. I have never begun a recording session without wishing it was already over. Because understand, Woody is clenched all the time.
Yeah.
He's clenched. There was something he's got to explain. Or come on, guys. Or no, look out. This way. It's all that. And you can't move. The microphone is right there and you can't move. And you have to be like this. And it's like, and then they save the last thing for you, usually at the end of a very long workday, is the grunts.
Yeah.
And they will show you an animatic of Woody climbing up a bunch of books onto a thing and say, okay, could you do grunts of climbing up? Okay, all right.
That is very good.
That's legitimately how Tom was made.
That's right.
But then you have to do the coming down. Which is I think they are gleeful at making you ring every possible meaning from a line. When you're in, like, the young act, repetitions, the exercise repetitions, where you have a very simple cue and a very simple line. And the cue might be, would you like some more coffee? And the line you have to say is, coffee, you think I want more coffee? Boy, do I need more coffee. So if you would say, coffee, do I want coffee? Boy, do I need more coffee, okay? And you're going to say it every conceivable way you can.
Sure.
And all I'm going to say is,
let's do this.
Would you like more coffee? Would you like more coffee?
coffee, boy, do I need more coffee.
Good, thank you. Would you like some more coffee?
Coffee, boy, do I need some more coffee.
Can you try it with a little more something to it? Because we need, this is a big important scene, because King Kong is out front and he's going to smash the building.
Okay, yes, Tom Hanks.
Would you like some more coffee?
Coffee, please, sir, I need some more coffee.
Good, let's try it again. Would you like some more coffee?
Coffee, please, sir, I need some more coffee.
Would you like some more coffee?
Coffee, please, sir, come on, I need some more coffee.
Would you like some more coffee?
Coffee, please, Tom Hanks, give me some coffee.
And that's what it is like. Bravo, by the way, that was absolutely. So you know,
hey,
you know how it works.
Yeah. Why did you do that in American accent?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter what you do in life, there are expectations put on you. As someone who sits behind a mic and in front of television screens for a lot of my working life, I understand those expectations. People think, oh, well, you sit in front of a mic and it's not all that hard. You know what? There are expectations out there that Bernie does a good job behind the mic. There are a lot of people listening and a lot of people watching. And you think, oh, Tom Hanks, man, that must be a lot of fun playing Woody and going into the studio. But you see, there are expectations on us. There are expectations on you. And you put expectations on yourself. And so all these pressures happen and they build up and we struggle with life. This obviously isn't working. I have expectations, not unreasonable ones, I would have thought, that the little clicker would work. And so you're living in this thing, right? It's life. It's what's going on in your life. And the Bible seems so distant from that. It seems so far removed from the realities of our lives. And therein, brothers and sisters, lies one of our great problems. What this series is called is Alive and Active. Becoming all that God made you to be. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. Now, we're going to look at that particular verse next week. I almost said next week on the program, but no, next week at church. This week, we want to look at the bit before that. Because I don't know how many days you have left on this earth. As we just heard today, things happen unexpectedly. We don't know when our time is over. You don't know. I have my diary packed full for the next few months. Hey, that might all be irrelevant. I just don't know. So in the limited time that you and I have available on this earth, I believe God wants you to be all that He made you to be. Is there an amen in the house? God made you in the most incredible way. And He wants you to be all of that. And we can't be all of that if we're living like life like Woody. Come on, guys. Let's get back to Andy's room, quick. There are people who believe in Jesus who are always tense, who are always afraid, who are always under pressure, who are always struggling, who are always nervous. I don't know what it is in your life, but we all have something that wants to rob us of all that God made us to be. You can't be that man, you can't be that woman if you're living life like Woody on Toy Story. So before we dive into the alive and active verse there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, there's another bit that we're going to look at, and that's what we're going to look at today. The promise of God's rest. If you have a Bible, if you've got an iPhone, if you've got anything, open it up. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. We're going to go through about a chapter and just pick out some of the powerful things that God wants to say, I believe, to His people today about the rest that He has for us. It kind of seems weird that we're starting a series called Alive and Active, being all that God made you to be, with the concept of rest. But if any of you are carrying heavy burdens, said Jesus, come to me, and I will give you rest. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Before we read this, I just want to make a point. This is one of the hardest passages, this chapter we're about to read, in the New Testament. Most of us, when we read this, if we read it, would skim over it because it kind of seems pretty convoluted, the logic. Who is the letter written to? The Hebrews. These people knew their Old Testament really, really well. So to the Hebrew audience, this made a lot of sense. And rather than skimming over it, we're going to dig deep into it today because God has some real gems in this for us. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. During the time of the testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Now, that's a really interesting quote, and it comes from the Old Testament, from Psalm 95. So they would have immediately known that, listening to that. And Psalm 95 is a psalm of David that begins like this. Some of you will know this chorus. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord, to the rock of our salvation. This is a joyous psalm. This is a psalm about the joy that God has when we have a relationship with Him for us. And it talks about joy and worship, but then it goes to this quote. The quote that comes about not hardening your hearts. You see, these two are mutually exclusive. Joy and hardening our hearts. And the Israelites did exactly that in the 40 years in the wilderness. They rebelled against God. God was testing them, but he was being tested by them. They were turning the tables on God. God wanted to see if they had faith, if their faith was genuine. But they hardened their hearts. I know there are some doctors here today. And any doctor will be able to tell you that arteries and hearts don't harden overnight. It takes time for hearts to harden. And sometimes we're always going astray. You've got that sin, I've got that one sin that always drags us astray. And today God is saying to us, if you hear my voice today, do not harden your hearts. Because when the Israelites did that, he declared in his anger, they shall never enter my rest. Whose rest? God's rest. Which means the flip side of that is that for some, that rest was available. Where did they find that rest? In the promised land after 40 years. Of those who left Egypt, of the million plus Israelites who left Egypt, who actually entered the promised land? Moses didn't. Who were the people that ultimately 40 years later entered the promised land? There were only two. Joshua and Caleb. Because they were faithful. None of the others who crossed through the Red Sea made it into the promised land. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. As has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Again, don't harden your hearts. A sinful and unbelieving heart. Interesting, at one point, Jesus says that the opposite of faith is disobedience. The opposite of faith is disobedience. A sinful and unbelieving heart. Sinfulness and unbelief go together. What stronghold is there perhaps in your heart? You know that one little thing that you hold back from God, maybe? I know what mine used to be. Well, God, I'm just an angry person. That's just the way I am. You're just going to have to live with that. That's a sinful and unbelieving heart. That's a stronghold. That's something we hold back from God and say, God, I'll let you have everything else in my life, but you can't have that bit of my heart. That's what a sinful and unbelieving heart looks like. God doesn't want part of you. God wants all of you. Because Jesus gave all of himself. It's the sinful and unbelieving heart that leads to this deceitfulness and hardening of heart. Well, you know, I'm just an angry person and everyone's going to have to get used to that, including God. That's a deception. That's a lie. Jesus didn't die so that I could be an angry person. Jesus didn't die so that you could continue in whatever your particular Achilles heel happens to be. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion if you hear his voice today. So who was it? Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those whom Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Wasn't it with those who sinned? Whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Do you see how he equates disobedience with unbelief? They are two sides of the one coin. It's almost like he's using them interchangeably here, the Holy Spirit. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you will have been found to have fallen short. Whatever stuff you have flying around in your life at the moment, sin, financial pressures, relationship pressures, fears, uncertainty, worry, whatever it is, the promise of God's rest stands today in Christ for you. Hallelujah. Is there an amen in the house? I know there have been times in my life when everything has been going smoothly. In fact, I remember a time some years ago now when I was on a 5-star cruise ship in the middle of the Pacific, everything laid on, a wonderful holiday, away from work, but in my soul I had no rest. You see, the rest of God is not based on our circumstances. The rest of God, it belongs to God. He gives it to us in Jesus Christ. It doesn't go up or down based on what's happening out there. In Christ, you and I can have rest. In fact, so often the Bible talks about rest and peace and joy in the context of suffering. And when you think about it, when we're suffering, that's precisely when we need the rest and the peace and the joy of God. Friend, don't believe the deception that your circumstances need to improve, that that problem out there needs to go away in order for you to experience the rest, the peace of God. Because in Christ, God wants you to experience it now. Today, he wants you to experience the peace of God. Let us be careful that none of you are found to have fallen short of it. How do you fall short of the rest of God? You hang on to that stronghold in your heart. You live a life of unbelief through your actions. And in this particular passage, when the writer uses the word belief, it means something much more than believing. The connotation is trust. Big difference between belief and trust. I find it particularly easy to believe that Jesus died and rose again 2,000-something years ago. It's distant enough, far enough away to make it easy to believe. Amen? But do you believe that God will give you his rest and his peace and his power in the middle of whatever you have going on in your life at the moment? Do you trust him to do that for you? Because that's exactly what he's calling you to do. Why did only Joshua and Caleb get into the promised land? Why them? Because when Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land, quite early on in the Exodus, there were giants in the land. And the 12 spies came back. 10 of them said, "Oh no, there's giants in the land. We better not go there." Only Joshua and Caleb brought back a good report. Only Joshua and Caleb said, "Hey, we can trust God. We can defeat this. We can make this happen." And so all the others who passed through the Red Sea fell and died in the wilderness. Even Moses didn't make it through. And only these two men from the original ones stepped in the promised land. Do you see how seriously God takes this business of trust? How much he wants us to trust him in the middle of whatever we're going through. Because the opposite of that trust is sin, and it leads to a hardness of heart. I think we've all been there in our Christian walk from time to time where we have hardened our hearts a little bit against God. Sometimes a bit, sometimes a lot. And all God wants to do is to pour his love into our lives and for you to experience the rest of God. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they didn't share the faith of those who obeyed. Do you see? Obedience and faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest. Just as God has said, so I declare on my oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day. In these words, on the seventh day, God rested. We know that story. Genesis chapter 2. God got to the seventh day. He created the whole universe. And then he rested on the seventh day. Why did God rest? Have you ever wondered that? Why did God rest? Was God tired? Was God exhausted? Was God like, oh boy, I need a break? No. God rested to sit back, to enjoy all that he had created. The trillions upon trillions of stars that he flung into space. The worlds that he created, the earth that he created, the creatures that he created, the men and the women whom he created. God sat back to enjoy that, to take it all in. That's the rest that God has for you and me. It's that rest. Have you ever had a really hard week, but a very fruitful week? And you get to Friday night and you go, oh, I'm exhausted, but it's a good kind of exhausted, right? It's been a good week. I'm really pleased with what I've been able to do. It's that sense of enjoying all of creation. So when God promises us his rest, that's what he's talking about. The good sort of rest. Again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. You see how he goes, keeps on about this? He's not letting this go. Again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time ago, later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We're going to talk more next week about hearing the voice of God. But today we are together hearing the voice of God. Because the word of God is the voice of God. And I pray that we are all challenged in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. Am I holding something back from God? Because as long as I hold that one thing back from God, I can't enter his rest. Husbands and wives, you know that when there are secrets in the marriage, when there's conflict in the marriage, you can't have that warmth and that intimacy and that joy of that relationship. It just doesn't work. It's the same in our relationship with God. God wants you to enter that rest. So if you hear his voice today, let go of that one thing in your heart. Let go of that one thing in your heart. Lay it down before God, maybe as long as you've been hanging on to it, as hard as you've been hanging on to it. Lay it down. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works just as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall short by the same sort of disobedience. What's he talking about there? Joshua, of course, was the one who led them across the Jordan into the Promised Land. Yeah? Because Moses was disobedient, so Moses died before entering the Promised Land. So it was up to Joshua to take them in and take the Promised Land battle by battle. Yeah, that's the story. That's what happened. But the play on words here is that the word for Joshua and the word for Jesus in the Hebrew is exactly the same. It's the same name, Yeshua, which means Yahweh saves. So that promised land of the Hebrews, and remember this is who he's writing to, the dispersed Hebrews in New Testament times. That promised land that Joshua took them into and led them into was just a foretaste. A shadow of what was to come in Christ. That's what they would have understood when they read that. God wants you to rest from your works. God wants you to rest from your striving. God wants you to rest from your worry. God wants you to rest from your fears. God wants you to rest from your conflict. God wants you to enter into the rest that he experienced on the seventh day after creating the whole of the universe. Does that blow your mind? Because it blows my mind. That's what God wants for you and me. And that's what he made available for us in Christ. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. In other words, people, make this a priority in your life. Living in and experiencing the rest, the shalom, the Shabbat rest of God. Ceasing from all your striving. Can I tell you, I told you the cruise ship story. On the flip side of that, I remember sometimes during the Ministry of Christianity Works over the years, there have been some shocking times. Times when I've had to fire someone. Times when there wasn't enough money and lots of bills piling up. Times when ministries turned against us and stopped us from preaching the Word of God. There were times when I cried, when I wept, and I'm not a teary person. But in so many of those times, I learned to trust God. And it was in that place that I discovered His rest. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives, said Jesus. Remember when he spoke that to his disciples, John chapter 14? When he was about to be crucified. When the plot to assassinate him was almost ready to go. When those disciples were in fear of their own lives. Am I going to be next? Am I going to be crucified with Jesus? I have said these things to you so that your joy may be complete. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. So let's not imagine that Jesus is talking about the sort of rest that you might experience on a cruise ship. Jesus is talking about something much better, something much deeper, something much more profound. Friends, if there is disobedience in your life, if you have hardened your heart in any area in your life, God is calling us today to lay that down, today, to lay that down. Because he wants you to experience his rest. So cast yourself upon God. We're going to have a time of ministry after this. The worship team is going to come up soon and sing a song, I Surrender All. All, I surrender. We're not going to have an altar call. We're in COVID times. But you have the opportunity during that to surrender anything that you've been holding back from God and cast yourself upon the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that's why he died. Before we do that, we're going to talk more about this next week. I was really struck by one of the verses in the passage we just read. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Most of you know what ministry I'm involved in, Christianity Works. We produce Christian Bible teaching, radio and television programs that are syndicated right around the world in many languages. One of the things that we do is a daily devotional program called Fresh. We now have that beaming into television networks that reach, by cable network, over 85 million homes. There are 100,000 plus people who have subscribed to it daily. It goes out in so many different languages. Is it having an impact? Lives are being changed. I just had something from a Tamil man who was going to commit suicide in Bangalore because he was a tuk-tuk driver during COVID-19. And he lost all his income because he couldn't drive tuk-tuks, and he went out to commit suicide, and a man walked up to him and gave him the Tamil version of this booklet. The guy gave his life to Jesus Christ and is now a Christian from being a Hindu. Is that because Bernie's a particularly clever writer? Not really. I mean, it helps. It's because there's power in the Word of God. It's one verse of Scripture can change your life. And what scares me is so many of God's people who want that rest, who want that peace, who want to experience the power to change and to live in victory over sin, aren't men or women of God's Word. I would love to share this with you. If you've been struggling, I'm going to challenge you. The devotional booklet began on the 1st of November and finishes on the 31st of January. There's a devotion for every day. Take that, spend 10 minutes a day in the Word of God through that devotional booklet. They're free. Take some for your family, take some for your friends. And let God speak to you. Let God challenge you through His Word. Because what I've found is every time I think, wow, you know, God's really done something powerful in my life. God's dealt with this particular sin. All of a sudden, something else happens and He has another layer of the onion to peel back. Have you noticed how that happens? Fortunately, God doesn't do that all at once because I don't think we'd be able to cope with it. And I actually read these devotionals because I write them well ahead, and of course I can't possibly remember the 15 or 1600 that I've written. And I get blessed by the Word of God, because there's power in the Word. So I encourage you, grab one of those where John's sitting up the back there, and take it and be blessed by the Word of God. That, by the way, is the TV crew in New Zealand. Obviously, I haven't been able to shoot for a few months because of COVID-19, that shoots the TV programs that go right around the world. We go to a lot of trouble to write, produce, make available the Word of God. Avail yourself of it. It's free. You can watch the videos. You can listen to the audio. If you want to subscribe to the e-devotional, go to christianityworks.com. I'm not much into paper. I'd much rather have it on my mobile phone. And you'll see the subscription to the Fresh devotional there. I want to encourage you to be a man or a woman of God's Word. We're going to talk a lot more about that next week. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we're just sitting here at the moment feeling perhaps a little bit challenged, knowing that we need more of your rest, knowing that we need to enter into that rest, and yet knowing that our hearts aren't clean or pure, or that we've been holding something back from you. Father, as the worship team comes up now, Lord, as we sing in our hearts this song about surrendering all to you, I pray, Father, that your Spirit would work in us in the most powerful and mighty way to soften our hearts, to open the doors that we've closed to you. Help us indeed, Father God, to surrender all to you. Let us not be disobedient as the Israelites were on that Exodus. But let us trust you in the difficulties of our life, that we may indeed enter the rest that Jesus died and rose again to give you. In his name we pray. Amen.